following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, the Cubs seem to be off to a perplexing good start.
Well, when you sweep the Cardinals in the first weekend of the year, that's a great start.
That's pretty much like unbelievable. It's like the eighth wonder of the world.
I guess that hasn't happened for 5 years now.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what they were saying.
Incredible.
Yeah.
How are they doing? I haven't really paid too much attention except for the scores, but I guess Lee is back.
Yeah, Derek Lee, he's on fire, but his contract is due up soon. He's looking to move somewhere else, so he's... I hate when these poor professional athletes do great when their contract is up. It's like, you know, you were sleeping for 3 years. Now you're going to make more money next year if you do great. Now you're going to do great. I don't think Derek Lee has actually thrown any games the last 3 years. It just kind of works out that way, you know?
Maybe so. Well, hopefully the Tribune Company will pay him what he wants.
Well, that's the other factor there.
Okay.
To all the Cubs fans out there, if you want your team to win, I'd suggest maybe stop going to the games until they start winning.
There you go. But now they're winning.
And now they're winning.
Yeah. So far. Were they 4-1 or something like that?
Yeah, 4-1.
Amazing.
Go Cubs.
Can't get myself to be too excited right now because I am a recovering Cubs fan.
Yeah, I'm a former Cubs fan myself. You know, I switched to the South Side about 20 years ago.
Oh, wow. Well, then it didn't quite hurt so much for you. Let's see, 20 years ago? So the 89 and was it 94, 93, and the 99 and the 2004 didn't hurt so much.
It all hurts. It's all relevant. You know, it hurts no matter what. I'm a Chicago fan, so.
All righty. Let's move on to more serious business. That's what Freedom Rings is all about, right?
Yep.
We've got the stupid and outrageous regulation of the week. And this one goes to the ever-exceeding bounds of government to, quote, protrude in all of our private lives and what we'd like to do in this aspect. Self-medicate through tobacco smoking. And the onslaught continues. I know the anti-smokers want, their goal, of course, is to completely ban cigarettes eventually. And it's getting pretty ridiculous, especially on the East Coast. Massachusetts has banned smoking in all public public places, and including it, evidently local jurisdictions can pass laws that prohibit smoking in private clubs. And the Massachusetts Supreme Court has ruled this constitutional. It's absolutely incredible to me. Hmm. Why shouldn't a private club be able to make their own rules?
They should be able to.
This is getting absurd. By what stretch of the imagination does... I'd love to read Massachusetts Constitution. Maybe it's a piece of manure. But evidently, people in Massachusetts have absolutely no rights at all. Now, the good news is the neighboring state of New Hampshire, and there's I don't know if it's the exact bumper sticker, but I know there's sloganeering going on in New Hampshire. Don't turn New Hampshire into Taxachusetts or something like that. Because a lot of yuppies have moved up from Massachusetts to New Hampshire and invaded that live free or die state into a state of flux now, so that the attitude of the Massachusetts people who just love government is starting to permeate New Hampshire to a certain extent, but not to the extent yet where they have banned smoking in all public places. The I think it's their Senate Judiciary Committee voted 12-11 to halt that onslaught of regulating that right to smoke, at least in your own. See, the thing is, folks, it boils down to property rights. And a lot of people don't understand this. But a lot of people are under the mistaken notion that we live under democracy, and we're fighting for democracy. Well, of course, as I've pointed out many times on this program, Socrates was put to death by majority rule, by democracy. That's pure democracy. What our founding fathers bestowed upon us to posterity was a constitutional republic that was supposed to guarantee already existing natural rights by God or by natural law that exist for every human being by virtue of the fact of being human. In order to survive as a human being, the best way to do the most efficacious way of doing it and the most moral way is to allow the freedom of an individual pursue his own needs, wants, desires, as long as it doesn't infringe on the equal rights of others to the same. And that implies strict property rights. If you produce something, if you grow an acre of corn, you should be able to keep that yield of that acre. You should be able to keep the land that it grows on. If you build a car, you should be able to keep the car. If you weave a suit, you ought to be able to keep the suit and not have it confiscated by others or appropriated by others. And that includes personal behavior, too, as long as it's not infringing on the equal rights of others. So if you have a group together that formed a private club and they have their own rules, why can't they keep their own rules? Why should somebody outside that group have the right to tell them what they can or cannot do? Not in America, folks. Not in America I grew up on, learning about how we were so different in this country that we actually believed in individual freedom and self-responsibility. And that separated us from the rest of the world. That's what made America great. Because we had these freedoms. Nobody talked about security then, folks. And of course, Benjamin Franklin warned us that those who choose security over safety over freedom deserve neither. And that's all that everybody seems to care about now, security. And not only security from themselves, but with this nanny state, the safety and security of others for your own good. We're going to regulate for our own good. We're going to tell you that you have to wear a seatbelt in your own car, that you cannot smoke in your own private club. Folks, in freedom, the owners of these clubs, the owners of corporations, the owners of restaurants, the owners of your own home should be able to decide for yourself what happens to your own home, your own corporation, your own bar, your own restaurant, your own club. Not some flimsy do-good nanny state majority that think they know better for you than you do. I mean, are these thoughts so radical? This is what we grew up believing, folks. This is what I remember. I remember looking at all the movies in the 50s, all the nasty movies, the nasty effects, please. That was the most horrific thing. What happened in Nazi Germany? What happened in Soviet Russia? With no rights, with every aspect of your lives regulated, with your money confiscated through taxation. It was different in America, supposedly. I believed it. I guess I was a young fool. Young fool in the government school. Stupid fool in the government schools. I actually believed what I read, what I heard. It's all a lie, folks. When we've brought it to a lie, we've allowed it to happen. We've allowed legislatures, we've allowed majorities to dictate the rights of individuals. When those actions have not interfered on any of the rights of others, such as whether or not you wear a seatbelt, whether or not you smoke in your own private club. I think, folks, that Patrick Henry would be coming up with a new Give Me Liberty, Give Me Death speech, hearing about this kind of sanctioning of the Supreme Court of Massachusetts to allow local municipalities to ban smoking in private clubs. This is way overstepping the bounds of what proper government is supposed to be. And really, the government's become a criminal government, folks. If you look at what our constitution, what the Declaration of Independence says, and what our constitution is supposed to bestow upon us, and I know my friends don't like the constitution, and it probably has been a failure, but at least it was a good attempt at a start for freedom. But we are anywhere close to that, folks. We are anywhere close. And it's time people wake up before it's too late, and it probably is too late, to be honest with you. But I can't help but fight for it. It just outrages me that this type of regulation could occur. It just simply outrages me. And it should outrage you. It should outrage any person who considers himself a real American, who considers themselves a believer in individual freedom and self-responsibility. It should outrage them. And we're going to have an open line, folks, today, and there are other things that should outrage you that I'm going to suggest I'll throw out as topics for discussion. It will be an open line today, folks. Anything about politics, economics, philosophy, or law is welcome. Give us a call at 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. This is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John, and we will be back after a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruption, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support. We are back with Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. We do have an open line. Anything about politics, law, and economics, or philosophy is welcome. Give us a call. How about this? Should the law of the Supreme Court sanction regulations against smoking in private clubs. Has it finally gone too far for even you most vociferous advocates of big government? I would love to know. Give us a call. Okay, we have Jeff on the line. Hi, Jeff.
No, they shouldn't. Keep the heck out of Dodge. That's what I say.
Well, I know that's one state I'm not moving to, Massachusetts.
Well, you know what? It's the only reason that's all come about in the first place is because there's those good do-gooders out there that say, oh, I can't go in these restaurants because the smoke bothers me.
Well, that,
they don't go in the damn restaurants, you know? That's what I'm not a smoker.
There are
right?
plenty of restaurants out there that are smoke-free.
Exactly.
You can choose those.
But they have to pick on them all. See, these anti-smokers, they have to pick on them all. Then the next thing's going to be drinking. You know, there won't be any bars anymore because it's you know, that'll be against
well,
the law.
Well, I'm glad you brought that. Excuse me for interrupting, Jeff, but I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot. I don't think we talked about this last week. And it was my other choice for the super regulation of this week is that there are actually police departments that are going into hotel bars and arresting people for public drunkenness, even though they're staying at that hotel.
You know,
it's happening in Texas, and I believe one other state, Virginia, I believe it is. And it's absolutely outrageous. They say, well, we have to skip the drunk drivers off the road. Well, this has nothing to do with it.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well,
they may be harmful to themselves. They may fall down the stairs.
The whole thing's just a big joke. You know, it's another... I'll tell you what. I used to work for a municipality, and you want to talk about regulations. You know, there were so many things I had to do it was just ridiculous. And it was overbearing people. The town I worked in, well, if you knew what town it was, I'll tell you what it is. It's Naperville. Okay, Yuppieville.
That's a surprise.
Oh, God, it was so ridiculous. I tell you what, Naperville, I hate that place. You know, I stay away.
I'll tell you what, it's a shame because it's a beautiful town. It's got a beautiful river walk. It's got a great restaurant. It's got a great downtown. But, as you say, it's overregulated. Oh, my Lord.
But you know how it is. You know, everybody wants to regulate everybody else out of I know of a couple people on this one particular place I used to work for, the one block. The guy didn't like the color of the guy's house. He lived in the historic district. He didn't like how the paint job was done, this particular gentleman's house. So what he do, he calls the historic district, and then the thing goes round and round for about a year, year and a half, two. And he had the guy that owned the house that the paint job was on, he had to change the color because it wasn't supposedly historic, you know, different
right.
type colors.
Right.
To me, that's a bunch of crap.
Well, it absolutely is. There are many municipalities that have, it's not even, the historic districts are just within municipalities, but there are some, I believe, Oak Brook is one town, I think, that you have to be approved with your colors.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
Well, I'll tell you what.
And I think even Bolingbrook even has some certain regulations about, maybe not about colors, but about painting per se. Oh, I know Oak Park does. Yes, it's absolutely absurd. If you believe in freedom, don't ever move in an historical district. That's
well,
true.
You know what? I want to move. And I'll tell you where I want to move. I want to move to Idaho,
easy,
Montana,
easy.
Oregon, and get the heck out of Dodge. Because I tell you what, I've about had it with society around here because, you know, I'll tell you what, this is God's spoken truth, Ken. I know people out there who complain about everything under the sunshine, and they're the ones that are complaining about their own stuff they enacted. And, you know, to me, we're just stupid people. We're going to let the country go down the toilet because of what's going on in today's society, because of all these do-gooders, you know, the environmentalist wackos, the do-gooders, just what you're talking about. And I'm so tired of the politics. It's not going to change. It's never going to change. The only time we're going to have a change in this country was when everybody's flat out broke and have a civil war. And that's it. And I could see the civil war coming with this, immigration situation, because I'll tell you what, it's out in the Southwest, it's terrible. But, you know, I'll get off my soapbox, but it's so ludicrous. Our country has gone to the toilet. It's gone to the dogs. It's just, and I can't understand why. And a lot of this stuff is so simple Mike, a 2-year-old could almost figure it out, but yet we got to let, you know, let other people run the gamut.
Jeff, I don't think most people in this country really understand what freedom is all about. I think I really do think a majority of the people, unfortunately, in this country think freedom means freedom to encourage legislators to pass legislation to regulate their neighbor's behavior. I think that's what they think freedom is all about.
Well, if you talk to the average citizen, this is what you get. You know, when you talk to them about who you're going to vote for, what's the issues, you know, you just bring out the issues, and they haven't got a clue. Well, I don't have time to look at it because I got to take my son to practice. Oh, I got to go there. I've got this meeting there. You know, it's like when it comes right down to the voting day. 99% of the people out there, all they do is punch ballots or punch the screen now or whatever. And it's like eeny, meeny, miny, moe. They don't know the first thing about who they're voting for because they always come up with this thing saying, I don't have the time. Well, this is what people have got to start taking the time to do it. There's no excuse for it. And it's the biggest thing I get mad at is these people not voting because, you know, it's the lesser of two evils. That's a load of bunk for me. And,
well,
you know,
I don't know. I some people don't care. Some people think that voting just encourages them.
Oh, I don't know. I
hate to paraphrase an old anti-war slogan from the 60s, but that has been changed just a little bit. But, you know, one of my friends who really are more anti-government than even I am would say, what if they held an election and nobody voted? I mean, if you're only getting 20% of the possible voting population voting, it's not exactly a mandate, is it? So I think there's two ways of looking at that, Jeff, is what I'm posing to you.
Well, what would you do? I mean, if you think about it, what would you do?
I think voting is the least effective means of change. I still do it, but I think it's the least effective means. I think we need to change through the jury system by nullifying unjust laws, by voting not guilty any oppressive laws. And I think we need to fight them directly like I'm doing with my seatbelt case. Don't refuse to bend over, basically. Stand up for your rights, refuse to bend over. Active, nonviolent, civil disobedience. For those of us who really care, see, the thing is, Americans, even the Americans who do care about freedom, in general, don't have a commitment for it. Our founding fathers pledged their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor for freedom, and people are not willing to go to jail for a day.
I think they don't have the stomach for it, to be honest with you. I think they're so sick and tired of, if you look at it, every time you turn the news on, it's basically slandering each other one way or the other. It's either the Democrats slandering the Republicans or the Republicans slandering the Democrats, and not once do they ever come out with, you know, something of substance to say, well, this is, you know, what we're going to do. You know, and explain it instead of just saying, making up something and throwing it in the air. And that's what they do. If you watch CNN,
well, it's hard to see.
It's all garbage. I mean, I watched one guy stand there for half an hour and talk, and there half the room, two-thirds of the room was empty. And so he's talking to these other guys, and all they're doing is going back and forth and back and forth, and they're never really explaining once what the hell they're talking about.
Well, anybody, in my opinion, who votes for either the Republicans or the Democrats today who believes in freedom is somewhat crazy. I mean, if you really understand and believe in freedom, the Republicans, the Democrats, there's no difference. There is no perceptible difference. All they're in it is for the power. It's a power game. It's a chance to play God. And that's what these people are doing. They're advocating this kind of like the smoking ban in private clubs. It's playing God. That's what they're trying to do. When you try to regulate other people's lives that doesn't affect your life, you're playing God.
Yeah. Well,
and if there is any kind of ultimate sin in the world, it seems to me it should be that.
Yeah, I'll get off with somebody else.
All right, Jeff, thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Thanks. You have a good weekend.
All right.
Take care, man.
All right. And I want to throw do we have another? No, we don't. No. We had a call. A bunch of calls today, but not callers.
Not yet.
Okay. I got another item to throw out. And I know a lot of the neocons who are trying to say how successful the Iraq war has been, the Bush's Middle East policy has been because democracy is on the march. Well, there's an alternative view in the New York Times today by Hassan M. Fattah. And he points out what's really, it seems to me, and these are facts, this is not opinion, what's really happening in the Middle East. And he goes from country to country. In Egypt, President Hosni Mubarak, who allowed a contested presidential election last year, has delayed municipal elections by 2 years after the Muslim Brotherhood made big gains in parliamentary elections last year. Despite, by the way, the government's violent efforts to stop the group's supporters. In Jordan, where King Abdullah II has made political change and democratization mandates, the proponents of that, their hand has been weakened. There's a document advocates change, democratic change, put on the back burner. Parliamentary elections in Qatar were postponed again, this time until 2007. In Yemen, the government has cracked down on the news media ahead of presidential elections this year, intimidating journalists who have been considered overcritical of the government. Of course, that happens in this country too, doesn't it? It really does. Mm. In one way or another, there is at least a subtle, I think, crackdown. A subtle fear that if the establishment press gets out of line, they're going to get squashed down. In Saudi Arabia, King Abdullah has refused calls that the country's consultative council be elected, while the arrest last month of Muhsin al-Awaji, a government critic, raised questions about how far the country's newfounded openness will go. And in Syria, promises for reforms have been followed by a harsh crackdown on the opposition. And it goes on and on. Folks, and of course, Iraq, you know, gun purchasing is at an all-time high. Nobody believes that either the American forces, or very few, I should say, people believe that the American forces or the Iraqi forces are keeping the peace. And there's evidence, in fact, that a lot of these murders that are going on are being carried out by death squads that stem from the Shiite police force. And yet, folks, President Bush is drumming the war beat for Iran.
Mm-hmm.
The next setup, it's the same stuff. It's the same propagandistic rhetoric that's probably filled with a bunch of lies. Just as I suggested, I said, if you're never going to find any, I didn't say they weren't. I said it would be very unlikely they found any weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and they haven't. These are lies, folks. They're feeding us lies to perpetuate their imperialistic notions of empire. The neocons' imperialistic notions of empire. They think you can force democracy through guns. It's so oxymoronic. I'm astounded that anybody believes it. You can't force democracy. I mean, it's a contradiction in terms. Forcing democracy is a contradiction, folks. And yet, these neocons have that evidently. A lot of people convinced in this country that that's what needs to be done. It can't be done. To lay the groundwork of freedom, which I think is what we really would, most people when they think democracy, what they really are understanding in their own heads is fostering freedom. That doesn't happen overnight. You've got to have a cultural revolution. You have to have an intellectual revolution that celebrates the individual, that celebrates rationality. And these fundamentalist religious dominated cultures do the opposite. It shuns rationality for faith. And it celebrates the collective will over the individual. There's no way in the world you can foster so-called democracy, foster freedom in that kind of environment. And that takes generation after generation after generation of laying the groundwork to the point where people can understand that in order to have freedom, they have to give freedom for everybody else. We don't even understand that in this country anymore. And we have a legacy for freedom. Folks, freedom is a very, very fragile thing, and it doesn't come free. It doesn't come cheap. And as has been said over and over again, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. That's after you've laid, I should say, that's after you've laid the framework down, the rational, intellectual, cultural framework down. Then you have to be vigilant about it. The Middle East doesn't have either the framework, and they certainly aren't going to be vigilant about something they don't even understand. Complete, complete disaster. One other item I'd like to throw out, and then I'll throw it back to y'all folks at 847-931-1410, is that now through Scooter Libby's pleadings in court concerning the Valerie Plame case, he has not only implicitly implicated the Vice President, Dick Cheney, for authorizing or taking part in the outing of Valerie, CIA agent Valerie Plame. Now he's suggesting that President Bush himself did so too. Even though, as you remember, as soon as it came out, President Bush said, oh, we don't want any leaks. Anybody who's been leaked, they will be punished. They'll be, removed from responsibility and blah, 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 blah. They'll be punished. Now it turns out he's the one. So the press secretary, the White House press secretary, said, well, you know, the president can declassify people anytime he wants, even though he didn't do it. He can declassify people anytime he wants. So he could out, so it's okay. What they're trying to say is, if we do get caught charged by Scooter Libby's pleadings that, President Bush and Cheney authorized and took part in the outing of Valerie Plame, it's okay because they can do it because they can declassify anything you want. Well, if that's true, it seems to me, aren't there procedures that have to be followed anyway? Any kind of declassifying procedures? I'd be hard-pressed to think that the regulations of the U.S. government preclude the president or the vice president from following any regulations when they declassify any information that supposedly is in the interest of national security. Give me a break, folks. All right, open line. Anything about politics, law, economics, or philosophy is welcome. 847-931-1410. This is Freedom Rings. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders. Good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. Jack Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. Jack Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need email or internet setup and training? Call John. Want to simply learn to do things faster? Call John. Jack Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want a new computer system set up? Call John. Need fast, convenient repairs? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and we have an open line today. Give us a call. Anything about politics, law, economics, or philosophy, let's go to the phones. We do have Norb. Hey, Norb, how you doing?
Hi. I got a question for you. I just want to know your opinion. If we should either invade Iran or bomb Iran, what do you think the reaction of the world community is going to be on that? Are they going to just sit back passively like they pretty much did with Iraq, or they're going to join us?
Well, they aren't going to join us. Absolutely not.
Okay.
I don't think. I mean, I even question whether or not Great Britain would join us.
Okay.
Because I think Blair is really up against a heavy opposition right now in the war.
Uh-huh.
In Iraq, and I'd be a little surprised if Australia or Great Britain joined us on this one. I think we would be censored, you know, from throughout the world. I don't think it'd be a pretty picture at all. I can't predict. But
do you think that Iran then will absolutely disrupt the oil flow going through because they got control of some of the shipping lanes through there?
Quite probably. And what I do know about Iran, and I'm not by any stretch of imagination an expert on international relations or international history. But what I do know about the history of the Iranian people is that what's happening in Iraq is a Tea Party compared to the fanaticism in Iran.
Well,
those people are really serious about their religion and such, and their nationalism.
Well,
there is no way in the world possible, short of just dropping a few big ones on Iran, that we could so-called win. Of course, if we did that. If we did that, we would invite the next century of terrorism into our country. And by the way, Bush is not—he is not removing that option.
I know. In fact, actually, my fear is because we're so short of troops, he's going to try bombing. Maybe even with the help of Israel, which will really invite
right.
the whole area.
I think that is an excellent possibility. I'm not excellent, but I mean that it's not excellent. I think you're right on the money, is what I'm trying to say, is that it's quite probable what's going to happen. And see, the thing is, Bush is he's down in the polls so much in this country. People really hate what he's doing, especially with the war in Iraq. I think he thinks his last chip that he's going to play out.
That
could change his legacy. It's like the really poor investor that keeps on investing in dogs, and decides, well, if he finds the lowest dog to invest in, somehow that's going to pull him out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go ahead.
Do you think that part of the reason for us demonizing Iran might be because Iran was looking at switching from dollars to euros for oil.
I think you're hitting it on the head on all of these, Norb.
Okay.
I think there is a huge fear that if the euro dollar becomes the dominant dollar in the world, then the, of course, that, well, there's some contradictions there because the euro dollar is just as flimsy and worth nothing as the American dollar, but the American dollar's inherent, how should I say, lack of value will become apparent,
so
and that could drive this country in a huge depression.
So if he should start another war, basically we won't be able to finish it because we won't be able to afford it.
Well, we can't afford what we're doing now in Iraq.
Well, no, that's what I mean. And then we're going to take on more debt by going and dealing with Iran.
I think what the neocons are trying to do is they're trying to intimidate these other countries into compliance. I think that really is their policy, is through intimidation and hoping that they don't have to expend all these resources into war. But I don't think they, I think they underestimate the grit of these Middle Eastern people.
Well, playing the bully on the playground and having a big mouth about it, someday somebody's going to call you on it.
Exactly. And it's happening in, what is it, Venezuela?
Well, yeah.
Was it Venezuela where they just, I'm sorry?
Hugo Chavez.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I think they just recalled our ambassador, if I remember reading correctly from yesterday's paper.
Where are we going, Ken? Where are we going as a country?
It's not. It doesn't look pretty. I wish I could be more optimistic. The only thing I'm optimistic about, Norm, is these two films I've seen within the last few weeks. The documentary by Aaron Russo, America from Freedom to Fascism, which is a call to action and could really expose what this country is all about, that we are not American anymore, that in fact our way of life and our ideas and our ideals have been overthrown, and that it's time to take back our country. There's that film. If it ever gets out in general circulation, I think maybe that might wake some people up. And also I think the feature film V for Vendetta is very inspirational.
It's inspirational, but really when you look at the people out there, does anybody really understand? Or
I don't know.
Everybody's for a revolution. There's something romantic about it.
Yeah, as long as somebody else is doing it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm worried, because I think we're dead in the water as a country.
Well, you may be right. I hope you're wrong. I hope there's a little bit of a remnant of freedom left in this country that will spur some people on to fight for it and restore.
Well, you know it's over with if you have the police standing by your door there after you're done with your radio show.
That'll be interesting. Or if I'm on a no-fly zone. I mean, if I'm on a no-fly list.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Norb. Thanks for your call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. This is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. Open line. Give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute, and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruption, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Back with Freedom Rings Open Line. Let's go right to Bob. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, Ken.
Morning.
Yeah, this Iran thing is really scary stuff. I don't know where Bush gets the authority to attack Iran. You know, was there any declaration of war passed by Congress?
There hasn't been a declaration of war passed by Congress since World War II.
We know that. Well, I also wanted to mention there was a great interview on C-SPAN a week ago last Sunday with Karen Katowski. She writes on Rockwell.com and also Military Week.
Right.
She's a lieutenant colonel that's retired now.
Yes.
She was in the Asia desk that was right next to the Office of Special Plans in the build-up to the Iraq War. So she was working for Doug Feith and overheard a lot of the intelligence that contradicted what Bush and Cheney were saying to in the public.
Right.
That interview is available on the web at Q&A.com, which is a C-SPAN website. I believe it's .com. It would be through the C-SPAN website, but it's Question and Answer is the name of the show. So it's Q&A.com, I believe, or possibly Q&A.org. and it was a week ago last Sunday, and that will be archived for a good long time. And if you want to get a good contrast, William Crystal was interviewed last night on that show. So you can see the two sides of it, and you can hear the truth coming from Karen and the spin coming from Mr. Crystal.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Karen is a formidable individual, and it's starting to sound, I don't know if she's running or not, but it's starting to sound like a likely favorite candidate for the nomination for president of the Libertarian Party.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
Also, C-SPAN has a good interview with Anthony Zinni, who was on Washington Journal, I think, a week ago today. If you just go to C-SPAN's website and type in Zinni in the video box, he has a good half-hour, 45-minute interview that, you know, is very good, too. So.
Okay, and what is that about?
Well, on Iraq.
Right.
And how we got into it and how he's opposed it and we've gone down the wrong direction. And he talks about how in the old days, the generals could speak up when they contradicted the policy and, you know, would be heard. In this administration, they're hushed up. You know, some of them have even, you know, been lambasted in the press by the administration when they don't go along with the administration's views on certain subjects.
Right. Excellent. Thanks for the info, Bob. Appreciate it. All right. We've got Dick. Hello, Dick.
Yes, not much time. Just a quick comment. How can we tell other Arab countries that they can't have nukes when their neighbor Israel has them and we gave them to them?
And we have them, and France has them, and Russia has them, and Great Britain has them.
Of course.
And, yes, as you say, and India has them, Pakistan has them. But what gives us the right, absolutely, to...
I think the problem in the Middle East is that Israel is the enemy to all the Arab nations. You know, there always, you know, a lot of friction going back and forth. And Israel has weapons of mass destruction, nukes, and we are denying their neighbors from having equal weapons to defend themselves against Israel.
Well, Israel is a democracy, and they're peace-loving people.
Oh, but didn't Palestine just have a free election?
Not the one to our liking.
We don't like the results, though. And anyway, I think the problem there is that one side has them, and the other side is being denied.
Well, I think it's just an unbelievable amount of hubris to decide just because we're the power of the world that we can have nuclear weapons and our friends can have nuclear weapons, but other countries cannot. It's an absurd notion. It's not going to pass. The rest of the world's not going to allow it, I don't think. And to the extent that we try to enforce it, it can be done at our peril.
Or denuke the entire Middle East. Let us throw sand.
All right.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Dick. I appreciate your call. Okay. Quotation of the week. This is from Rose Wilder Lane, libertarian author, who is also the daughter of Laura Ingalls Wilder. Anyone who says that economic security is a human right has been babied too much. While he babbles, other men are risking and losing their lives to protect him. They are fighting the sea, fighting the land, fighting disease and insects and weather and space and time for him. While he chatters that all men have a right to security and that some pagan god society, the state, the government, the commune, must give it to them. Let these fighting men stop fighting this inhuman earth for 1 hour, and he will learn how much security there is.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.